On another occasion, I would like to tell you about a revolution in our 2.2% of America. I would like to tell you about sweeping reforms of fiscally, in terms of economic development, telecommunications, policy, health care for the uninsured, property taxes. I would like to tell you about the still national record for the largest transaction translated into infrastructure investments. I'd like to tell you about a state known by its historians as risk-averse, change-averse, a follower state that has become something different in the last 4 years, at least tentatively so. That'll have to wait. In these couple moments tonight, I want to say, I want to focus on something different, on the subject which that rare national asset we know as Governing Magazine uniquely brings to the attention of those who are willing to pay attention and to appreciate. And I've always felt that the pursuit of results and performance in government ought to be one thing on which people who differ about everything else could agree. An insistence that government do whatever it does well may come naturally, more naturally, to people who believe in limited government. But I've always thought that it ought to be at least as important a topic and objective to those who sincerely believe in a more expansive role for government. The better government does something, provably does what it does today, it could validate a suggestion that it do something new or larger tomorrow. And yet it's too infrequent that the performance of government in all the ways we've just heard about is noted, let alone cataloged accurately. And so governing does this for us, and I don't know where else one repairs to learn about that. And and from the standpoint of those of us who are practitioners, to do what we like best, at least in our state, and that's plagiarize. So I thank governing and those who bring it to us on a regular basis. This, to me, is such an important mission, all the more so because there's no walk of life I know in which it is more difficult to deliver results than in the public sector. Think about it. It is hard to hire the people you want. It is usually impossible to fire people who aren't doing a good job. Your board of directors, the legislature, instead of insisting and pressing for improvement, more often can be counted on to impede it. Right, and to block any attempt to reform or to transform the way in which a given service is delivered. In the absence of competition, the driver of performance everywhere else in life takes special effort, special talent, special people to deliver performance in at all levels of the public sector. You know, monopolies, there's a reason Americans distrust them and why we've systematically remove them from every sphere we can. They chronically overcharge and underserve their customers, and they never, ever, ever innovate. And so I'm always so impressed when people in government produce real results of the kind we just honored seven times. You know, in the rest of life, the world measures you. Among the rules that we offer, that we live by in our administration, we measure everything. We operate on the principle, if you're not keeping score, you're just practicing. And whereas in the rest of human experience, there's always a measurement going on, whether you like it or not. Your sales line, you either met your sales quota or you didn't. Your P&L got better or it didn't. Your market share grew or it shrunk. Your stock price went up or it went down. In government, that natural accountability is not there. And so it has to be implanted or inspired by leaders like the seven people I followed to this microphone. We operate by the principle, how profound this is, do what works. You know, if the subject was workforce development, we decentralized and pushed responsibility out to people close to the task of getting people from one job to another or from welfare to work. But if the subject was personnel or systems we brutally centralized because we decided the benevolent dictatorship made sense. If the subject was child protection, at which we were the worst in America and now are winning national awards, we doubled the number of caseworkers and improved the training and went a conventional route. But if the subject was how to run prisons or how to feed prisoners or how to deliver mail or how to print the documents government needs, we went to the Yellow Pages and hired Hoosiers in the private sector who could do it better and cheaper because they did it every day for a living. When the subject was how to meet an infrastructure shortfall that was just staggering in dimension, we looked at every alternative in the world and finally chose a private capital route because it was the only one that would work. It was the only one that had any chance of delivering the dollars that we needed, and we got 60 times cash flow and have billions in the bank, and we are breaking records for investment without a penny of taxation or a penny of borrowing while other states are still wrestling with that problem. Bill Schneider, a very learned person in this town for a long time, wrote a long time ago that an ideologue is someone who believes that if something is right, then it must work. But a pragmatist is someone who believes if something works, it must be right. And he said most Americans are pragmatists. I think most people in government at the levels we are learning about tonight are pragmatists too. And thank goodness for it. The third rule is as obvious as the first two, and that is that it is essential to somehow lure, inveigle, finagle, trick, shame, or seduce great people into coming into this enterprise with you. And if you do that, all the rest falls into place. And that's who I brought tonight. People who came out of private life, every one of them, most of them with no government experience before. We didn't have a bench. We'd been in the wilderness a long time, our team in our state. But you know, there's an advantage to newness. Rookies have their purpose. And my thanks are to them. They fixed agency after agency after agency because they didn't know what couldn't be done. And they didn't know why we have to do it the old-fashioned way. And they asked naive questions that sometimes went straight to the heart of improvement. So the Indiana experience, in the Indiana experience, we hope what we are leaving behind, yes, is better government. We hope it is a much better deal for the taxpayers' dollars. And we got a long way to go, but we think we're gaining on that. But you know what I hope we leave behind most, and what I know that my seven predecessors here are leaving behind, is less cynicism, is a little more optimism and respect for the public enterprise itself, a sense that here and there, people of good hearts and sincere motives can come together with a determination to deliver real results to the people who hired them in the first place and deliver them a better government for the dollars they invest in. And that too, like the whole idea of performance in government, I hope is something on which good people of all viewpoints can agree. Thank you so very much.